Nachyomi for the Orthodox Union, Sefer Shoftim, the Book of Judges, Perek Yud Ches, Chapter 18, Rabbi Bini Marilis. Chapter 18 picks up in midstream, in the middle of the story, of Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha. And whereas the previous chapter, Chapter 17, sort of confused us in terms of the behaviors of the individual players and how they could warp themselves to believe and think a certain way, Chapter 18 is the follow-through as it relates to the other people around, and it sort of sheds a lot of light as to where the community at large is with respect to forms of Avodah Zarah and the interplay within the community and between communities. A chapter begins with a familiar refrain regarding the king, the status of a kingdom in the land. It also begins discussing the people of Dan, and how it is that the people of Dan required and desired a larger swath of land than that which was apparently given to them initially, and they're scouting out territories. The Radak goes to great length here in the first verse to explain how it is that this story, in fact, takes place chronologically right now. That is to say, that we mentioned previously that according to most of the commentaries, this story takes place before all of the stories of the Shoftim, in terms of actual history. The Radak goes to great pains and to great length to explain how that's not the case, but rather this does fall sometime between Shimshon and Eli, who are two of the last three Shoftim, being Shimshon, Eli, Shmuel, that in the time there between Shimshon and Eli, there's a gap, and in that gap is when these last two stories take place. And that's worth one's time, beyond what we can spend our time on in this year together. The chapter begins. Bayim Mahem, in those days, in Melech b'Yisrael. There's no king in the Jewish people. The implication we've mentioned numerous times, that there's no power, there's no central focus, there's nothing driving or leading the people that's out there warring and battling for them. It's simply each man for himself. And therefore, Vayimim Haheim Shivit Hadani Mevakesh Lo Nachal Lasheves. And in those days, the tribe of Dan was looking for a place to dwell. They had not, up till that point, taken an adequate piece of property for themselves. Recall that the tribe of Dan is given their place to live in the land to the west of Binyamin, to the north of Yehuda. It's not a very large piece of territory, and then, as we mentioned in the past, that perhaps certain of the tribes had grown so that the pieces of property that were given to them as tribes did not meet the needs of the tribe at that moment. And perhaps Dan falls into that category. So, what do? They scout. Vayishnachu b'nei Dan mimishpachtam chamisha anashim. They send out from amongst their families, from amongst their tribes, five men, miktosam anashim b'nichayel mitzara'u mi'eshta'ol, from this areas of Tzara'av Eshta'o, those are the areas near where Shimshon was, Liragiles Ha'aretz Ulechakra, to investigate the land, to spy the land, to find something suitable for them. Vayomu Aleihem Lechu Chikru Es Ha'aretz, go and investigate the land. Vayavo Har Ephraim Ad Beis Micha Vayelinu Sham. And as they're crossing the areas of Har Ephraim, they come across the house of Micha. As we mentioned, Micha was a rather worldly individual and very hospitable, and they rested and they stayed at the house of Micha. Hema'im Beis Micha, as they're at the house of Micha, v'hema hikiru es kol hanar halevi, they seem to recognize the voice of the Levi that we mentioned in the previous chapter. They seem to know who he is. V'yasuru sham v'yomru lo, they turn towards him and say to him, mi hevi'acha halam, who brought you here? Ma'ata ose bazeh, what are you doing here? Malacha po, what do you have here? It seems a sort of random, out of place encounter with a person that they recognize. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Why are you here? Vayomer aleihem, he says to them, kazo v'chazeh asali micha, micha did X and Y and Z for me, such and such of this and such of that. V'yiskireni, he then hired me, v'ehi lo l'chohen, and I have now for him a kohen, so I serve in his household. So very good. So if that's the case, they say to him as follows, v'yomer lo sha'alna be'elohim, go and ask, inquire on our behalf of God, v'neida, that we should know, ha'satzliach derkeinu, asher anachno hochim aleha, that we should know whether or not we're going to be successful. No, go ask. V'yomer lehem ha'kohen, he says as follows, verse 6, lechu l'shalom, go in peace. Nochach Adonai darkechem asher telchu ba. Proper is the path that you go on for God. It's in accord with God. It follows in the line and the thinking of God. What you're doing is right. Meaning now, even he buys into what he is. That suddenly he's a Kohen, he's legitimately a Kohen, he can speak to God, he can ask and beseech of God these things and be answered. And what do they know? They listen. So here you have a guy working in a house of idol worship, who is now being given credence as a seer, as a doer, as a priest in the hand of God. It's a completely all around a big mess, essentially. So, v'yelchu chamishas anashim v'yavo laisha. The five men go and they arrive at the city called Laish. The area of which we speak is an area, it seems, well to the north, up in the land of Israel, well almost in a sense outside of the borders in the land of Israel. That the Laish of which they speak here is Leshem, of which we've spoken about in Sefer Yehoshua, and that region is well to the north of Naphtali and Zebulun, into areas of Lebanon. So, vayechu chamesh es anashim vayevu laisha, vayiru es ha'am asher b'kirba yoshev es lavetach. They spy the group that's settling there, that lives there, that they're sitting very securely and very calmly, unawares, essentially complacent. Kemishpat Sidonim, Shoketu Voteach. They're like the people of Sidon, who live quietly and securely, calmly. Vein Machlim Davar Ba'aretz Yoresh Etzer. Nothing around, there's nothing that they have to be concerned about or fearful of. Rechukim Hema Mitzidonim. And they're not close to the areas of Tzidon. They're very much distant and remote. V'davar ein lehem imadam. And they had no connection, no relationship, no alliance with any specific people anywhere. In other words, a sitting duck, an easy target. They come to this town, these people live there, they live out way out into the boondocks, a quiet, simple existence. And they have no relationships or ties or connections to anybody whatsoever. And the people of Dan see this and sees this as an opportunity. So they return home to the areas of the plot of area of, in the land of Dan. Ma'atem literally means what are you, but basically means nu. Chevra, what did you see? What's out there? Teach us, tell us, give us hope. Vayomru in verse 9, Kuma v'na'ale aleihem. Let us rise up and let us go up there. Ki ra'inu es ha'aretz v'hine tova me'od. For we have seen the land and it is very good. Va'atem machshim. And yet you remain still. Do not be lazy, do not hesitate to go and inherit the land. Interesting language. Seems almost eerily reminiscent of a different group of spies that went out to seek out the land. V'hinei tova me'od is similar to the language used by Kalev and Yehoshua back in the day. Ha'aretz tova, ma'od ma'od. The land is very good. And here they're talking about a piece of property that's outside of the land, but that land is very good. It's a very interesting sort of twist of the same language. So they explain further, Kivoachem tavo el am boteach. When you arrive there, you will come across a very sort of trusting and happy people, right? Good people. The aretz rachavas yadayim. The land is quite expansive and quite large. Kines anay elohim v'yedchem. And God has delivered into your hands. Makom asher ein sham machzor kol davar asher ba'aretz. There's no shortage of anything in the land that one would possibly need. Now this is based on their own vision, but it's also clearly based on some level, on the blessing, quote-unquote, of the Kohen at Beis Micha, of the priest at the house of Micha, who they asked for, you know, for an answer, Mitzat Hashem, from God. So they go from there. 600 men, Chagur Klei Milchamach, 600 men armed, with the weaponry of war. Ve'elu v'yachanu b'kiryas yarim v'yehuda. They go up and they encamp at a place called Kiryas Yarim in Yehuda. Akein karulu makam hahu machane dana yamazeh hinei acharei Kiryas Yarim. That piece of property becomes essentially known as part of Dan because they did go up and they did sort of set it up and they did go and camp there. They go from there to Har Ephraim. And of course, if you're going to Har Ephraim, don't forget to have a stopover at Beis Micha. At Beis Micha, they come to the house of Micha. The house of Micha is the house where they stopped before. So now it's where it gets, I guess, unfortunate. the five men who were sent out, the emissaries, the initial group of spies that were sent out to go look at Laish, speak, and they say as follows, they speak to their brothers and say, Hayadata, and did you know? Ki yesh babotim ha'ele eifodu surafim upesel umasecha. Did you know that in those houses, in that area, there's an ephod, and there are icons, and there are idols, and there's a carved image, and a graven image, and a molten image. Now you know what we should do. Meaning, let's be subtle about this, but not too subtle about this. By the way, over there, they have these guys. You should be aware that these guys exist. Let's go do something about it. So Vayasuru Shama, so they sort of turn there, they go in that direction. Vayavo el Bais Hanar Halevi Bais Micha. They come to the house of the Nar, to the house of Micha. Vishalu lo lishalom. They come in peace. Vishesh Mios Ish Chagurim Klei Milchamtam Nitzavim Pesach Hashar. The 600 armed men stand ready at the entrance to the gate. Asher mibnei Dan, and these are the men, as we mentioned, of Dan. Vayelu chameshes anashim elchim leragel saaretz. Ba'u shamalach v'sapesa v'saifa v'satrafi v'samaseicha. And the five leaders, these five men who had gone out, come to the house of Beis Micha, and they take the pesel and the ephod and the trafim and the maseicha. V'kohen itzav pesach hashar. And the Kohen just stands there. What's he going to do? How's he going to stop them? V'shesh miyos ha'ish ha'chagur klei ha'melchama. As there are 600 men armed and ready to go, girded up for battle, how's he going to stop them? What's he going to do? V'ele ba'o beis Micha. These come in to the house of Micha. V'ichu as pesel ha'ifod. That's the trefim ha'sevim ha'secha. They come in and they take these items. V'yamur aleihem ha'kohen. Ma'atem osim? The Kohen says to them, what are you doing? Don't do this. You can't do this. Don't do this. Almost like he's begging them. This is everything. It's a livelihood. This is everything we have. Don't do this. Vayimru lo. He said, in hachareish, silent. Shh. Simyadcha al picha. Put your hand to your mouth. Vilech imanu. And you'll come with us. Veheye lanu le'avu l'chohen. And you will be for us a father and a priest. In other words, Kohen, sir, please, don't make any noise. Don't argue here. Don't battle here. We have an offer for you. Hatov heyos ha-Kohen le-beis ish echad. Is it better for you to be the Kohen in the house of one man? Vaheyos ha-Kohen le-shevet u-le-mishpacha b-Yisrael. Or to be the Kohen, the priest, for an entire tribe and family in Israel. Shh. Upgrade. Job offer. Tier one opportunity. Who's going to turn that out? Ra'itav lev ha-kohen. His heart is gladdened. It's joyed. Ve'ikach ha-sa'ifo le-sa'chafi ve-sa'posel. Ve'evo be-kerev ha'am. And therefore he takes them. He takes the different pieces. He joins the flock and joins amongst the nation, amongst the group that's going in this direction. They turn and they go. They take everything, they put all their stuff and all their wares before them. Why before them? Before them in the sense that as they're going out in the distance and they're continuing their travel, that perhaps the place where they just left will battle them, and therefore they would come at them from the rear. So they put their families and their possessions at the front, and they would be at the back, so they would be able to war if that happened. So they created a distance between themselves and the house of Micha. V'anashim asher bebatim asher im beis Micha nizaku v'yadbiku es b'nei Dan. So the people who were in the houses who were with Micha, overtook the people of Bnei Dan. They cried out, right? They were gathered, they cried out, and they overtook the people of Dan. Ve'ikru'u Bnei Dan ve'yasibu pneihem. They call out to the people of Dan. They say to them, they get the people of Dan to turn around, to take notice of them. Vayomru l'micha, malacha kinizakta. They say to Micha, what are you doing? What concerns you? Why are you doing this? What strength can you possibly garner against us that you want to battle here? Vayomer, he makes his stand. Es Elohai asher asisi lekachtem. The God that I have made, you have taken. Ves hakohen vatelchu umali od. What else do I have? What more do I possess? This is my house. This is Beit Micha. This is Pesel Micha. This is my stuff. And what is it that you can even possibly ask me such a question of what am I? What? How does this concern me? You're taking my items. I'm making my stand. I want my items back. People of Dan speak to him and say as follows, Al tashma kolcha imanu. Don't raise your voice. Don't speak up with us here. Don't speak out against us. Pen yifku'u bachem, hint, hint, lest someone come across you, anashim mari nefesh, va'asafta nafshecho v'nefesh beisecho, and perhaps bring you death, and to all those that are with you, death as well. It's a sort of a not-so-subtle but subtle threat. Micha, this battle is over. This war is lost. That hasn't even happened, but you've lost. We're taking your stuff, and you should be quiet, because if you're not quiet, perhaps something might happen to you, and we won't be able to stop it. So your choice, Micha, is to go home quietly, or to perhaps face that consequence we're not sure that you want. So, Vayelchu Bnei Dan L'Darkam, the people of Dan then turn back, essentially, and they go on their way. Vayar Micha, ki chazakim heim mimenu. Micha sees that they are much stronger than he is. V'ifin v'yoshav el peso. He turns and he goes home. V'heim alakhu es asher asa Micha. And they took with them all that Micha had done. V'asakoin asher hayalo, and his kohen, his priest. V'yavo al layish al am shoket uvoteach. And they come upon the people of Layish, the simple and complacent and happy people, secure people, and they strike a serious blow to the people, and they burn the city down. And just as they had noticed earlier, in fact, came true, there's no savior for them, because it's at a great distance from the land and the tribe, the city of Tzidon. They had no sort of relationships or pacts or agreements with anybody who would come to their aid and to the rescue. And it's it was in a valley near a place called Beis Rechov. So you know, many things were going against the people of Laish. And the people of Dan rebuild the city and settle in it. But here they changed the name. Dan, they call the name of the town Dan, B'shem Dan Avihem, in the name of their great ancestor Dan, Ashu Yulad Yisrael, who was born to Israel, to Yaakov. V'ulam Layish Shem Ha'ili Rishana, but Layish is really the name from the beginning. V'yakimu Lahem Bnei Dan Es Apostle. The people of Dan establish the idol, the carved image, as their god, quote unquote. And now we get the name of the person. Yonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe, hu uvanav hayu kohanim l'shevet adani ad yom gelos haaretz. And Yonasan, the son of Gershon, the son of Menashe, he and his family were the priests for the people of Dan until the land was exiled. Herein we get the notion that in fact it's not Ben Menashe, but rather it's Yehonatan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moshe, that the Nun is added as essentially respect for Moshe, that it should not be known that his grandson and his descendants are these quote-unquote priests for these individuals and for these people. So it's called Menashe, but in fact it's Moshe. V'yasimu lahem as pesel micha asher asah kol yimei heyos beis ha'elohim v'shilo. They accept that pesel micha, the idol of micha, is in fact their god. For as long as there's a mishkan in Shiloh, that's as long as there's this notion of a belief in the pesel micha, in a focus and an homage that is paid and that is their servitude towards this pesel micha. It's a very long period of time. Whether or not it's from the beginning, of the story in the tribes of the in the Shoftim, then it's a 300-year period, 400-year period. Even if it's at the end, simply post Shimshon, going up through Eli and to Shmuel, so then it's also still over a 100-year period of time that they're worshiping the pesel micha, they're serving the pesel micha, that this family is a quote unquote family of priests. This whole very bizarre event. You have a tribe of Jews stealing the carved image and molten images paid for by the mother of a magnanimous and hospitable man, who then makes a stand for his idols, although not a very strong stand, for his idols to win them back. Like Lamaisa, perhaps, besides the notion that there's Ein Melech be Yisrael, there's no king at the time, and Isha Yashar Be'inav Yasah, that everyone is, you know, man on his own, taking the law into their own hands, as we see the people of Dan here. It's sort of like Old West, almost, in a certain sense. People sort of riding into town, investigating the town, threatening each other with death, taking the wares of other people. But at the same time, you get this story about a person standing up for his rights to his idol, but you don't exactly get the same type of story, the person standing up for God. So perhaps as that's part of the realm and part of the emotional makeup of the world, as it were, at the time, that they're not standing up and fighting for Kodesh Baruch Hu, but they're standing up and they're fighting for idols, and that their focus and their intent and their desires on their own stuff and not on the relationship or the status and the stature of the Jewish people in the world. We continue tomorrow with the story of the Pilegesh Begivah.